going to leave our study of Mark for this Christmas season, so I'd like to invite you to join me in the book of John, John chapter 1, and we will have messages over these next four Sundays addressing Advent, the coming of Christmas. So join me in John chapter 1, very familiar passage. Many of you have memorized this passage. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of this word, and certainly I pray for the Holy Spirit's aid in us understanding, digging into this passage in the context of the coming Christmas event and the things that surround it. You would think that after all these years we would get it right. Yet there are those who still do not believe. It is still that the answers to the origin of life still eludes many. You'd think that by now we would have it right, but no. Sometime back in an issue of Time magazine, a young lady by the name of J. Madeline Nash wrote an article entitled, How Did Life Begin? In the introduction, she writes this: The molecule was not alive, at least not in any conventional sense, yet its behavior was astonishingly lifelike. When it appeared, scientists thought it had spoiled their experiment, but this snippet of synthetic UNA, one of the master molecules of the nuclei of all cells, proved unusually talented. Within an hour of its formation, it had commandeered the organic material in a thimble-sized test tube and started to make copies of itself. Then the copies made copies. Before long, the copies began to evolve, developing the ability to perform new and unexpected chemical tricks. Surprised and excited, the scientists who witnessed the event found themselves wondering, is this how life got started? Is this how life got started? Hardly. Hardly. Please notice in the article that these scientists began with a molecule, but the author never addressed where the molecule, the living molecule, came from. In evolutionary theory today, we are expected to believe that life evolved from a non-animated primeval soup into the complex life structures we see today. Hardly. Life can only come from life. Life can only come from another existent, living being. I could go on and on in the arguments in and around evolutionary theory. It's one of my hobbies, I guess. But let's set that to the side for just a moment, and let's dig into the text John has here before us. First of all, let me introduce you to this part of text and understand or help you to see that what we have just read here in the text is called prehistory. Prehistory. This text speaks of a time before history, before the existence of anything. This speaks of an existence of only God. There was nothing. Nothing. No little micro-sized dust particles. No chaotic stirring of matter out in the endless voids of space. There was nothing except God, the eternal, self-existent, eternally living God. And with God in this time of prehistory, as John is telling us, was the Word, capital W, was the Word. In the Greek, this word is logos. You've seen it, studied it. It's the word logos. It is where we get our word logo. I could take a few minutes and not have to look too far to find a logo. I see one on a shirt up here. I see a pin back here that's a logo. What is a logo? We see them on our ball caps, on our shirts. A logo is simply a symbol that represents a greater something. A logo is a easily recognizable symbol that represents a greater whole. A logo communicates a message. When you see a ball cap and has the little swoosh on it, what do you think of immediately? Nike or LeBron James later. A Nike. It communicates. Well, in comparison, and I won't push this comparison too far, but in comparison, this is what this word, capital W, the Logos, is in relation to God. The word, the Logos, communicates God. So what is this word? Or is it is more proper to say who? Who is this word? Well, it is, of course, Jesus Christ. In John 14:9, we read, "Anyone who has seen me," Jesus speaking, "anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So the Logos is a very hard term to define, first of all. But when we began to try to define the word Logos, we see it as a term that is very full in meaning. But as Jesus is the Logos, he is the fullest representation of God in and of himself. And so we refer to Jesus as the Word, as the Logos. Well, what did this Word, Jesus Christ, do when he was with God in the beginning, before history, before anything? What was Jesus, what was this Word doing? Well, again, to answer this somewhat practically and a little bit simplistically, let me ask you the question. What is the function, what is the purpose of a word, small w? What is the purpose of a word? What does a word do in a sentence? What is the function of a word? Well, there are those who would say a word is nothing more than a symbol in and of itself. A word is a gathering of letters to form some symbol that we recognize having fuller and greater meaning. Very simplistic. And a word in a sentence, or a word as we would speak it, has function. It has purpose. A word, small w, gives expression. It reveals. It reveals. Those of you who are very word-oriented, those of you who write poetry, those of you who are marvelous with words, much better than I, you can use words to fully, or as much as you can through the use of words, reveal your inner being. You can reveal who you are. You can reveal thoughts and feelings and ambitions and such as that using words. Well, we all do that. Words help us to express, to reveal. And if we are expressing and revealing and communicating, there is someone who accepts that word. So we are able to use words to communicate our feelings, our thoughts. And again, as far as an example and an illustration, this is also what Christ does in being the Word, capital W. He is this for God. He communicates God. Jesus Christ, the Logos, is a logo of sorts. He represents God and he communicates God's will, his thoughts, his desires to us. In Hebrew 1, we read earlier, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So Jesus, being the Word, reveals the will and the thoughts and the mind of God to us. Jesus communicates God to his people. So what is Jesus doing? Being with God? He is that communicating arm, that communicating part of the Trinity. What else is Jesus doing in prehistory with God? What has he done? I should put it in past tense. Look with me at verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In Hebrew 1, we read earlier that it says, through him, Jesus, he, God, made the universe. Now, those who will say that, that's just, you can't believe that. How extraordinary. How hard to accept that out of nothing, some being spoke, and then we had created matter. We had the creation. And they say, that is just too hard to swallow. That is too hard to accept. Really? It's easier to accept all of this came from some dust particle flying out in voidless, in voided space, and all of a sudden one, I can't say day because there wasn't a day then, at some point in time it all crushed together and exploded, creating this. Now, which is harder to believe? I won't go there. Here in John 1, we are told very clearly that God, through Jesus Christ, created life. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. We as believers, as Christians, I hope, accept the simple premise of these words. Jesus did create all things. And John helps us here with our argument. He goes further. Look with me at the beginning of verse 4. He says, in him was life. So to answer our question, where did life originate? What is the origins of life? Here. Very clear. In him was life. And this life that we see around us, this life we are, all of this came from a self-existent, living being. It didn't come from a dust particle. But here in verse 4, John begins to make the transition. John makes the transition from the physical, practical, to the spiritual. Here in this passage, John moves from the creation of physical life to the creation of spiritual life. In verse 4, we read, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light of men. Now, we all understand light as much as we are able to in a physical, useful kind of way. I could turn the lights out in here and we'd be in the dark. as much as light only entering in through the windows. Light is a functional, useful tool. It dispels the darkness. It provides light so we can see. It provides clarity when reading. Light does many, many things without getting into all the scientific jargon associated with light. So again, speaking very practically, using this passage and referring to Jesus Christ, this is what Jesus does for the people of God. He brings the light. He is the light. He provides clarity. He exposes that which is concealed in the darkness. Jesus is the light, and that light was the life of men. And that life is speaking, of course, also to the spiritual life of regeneration. And these are wonderful things that we find about our Lord God and being the Word and being the Logos. But John goes on and brings in a conflict. He brings into the conversation here the reality, the conflict. Look with me at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Here we have personification of physical darkness, but it is a personification of the darkness of our souls. It's the darkness of our lives. It's the darkness of this world. The light has come, but the darkness does not understand it. We often ask, why is the world so against the things of the church? Why are there those who attack everything in and having to do with Jesus Christ? If you're in a conversation and we talk about God, we're okay. Most people can handle a conversation about God. But if you mention the name Jesus Christ, you mention the name Jesus, then you start clearing the room. Why? Well, here is the reason. Here, the light has shined. The light is shining in the darkness, but the darkness, those whose souls have not been redeemed, they don't understand. So instead of accepting the world attacks, the world rebels or just simply ignores because they don't understand the light penetrating the darkness. On a dark evening some 2,000 years ago, the light of life was born in a manger. The star above his stone crib gleamed brightly out so that those who had been called, followed that light to him. Some 2,000 years ago, the light of Christ penetrated the darkness of this world. And so let us make this very personal. And I would encourage you to review this and answer these questions in this time of Advent. Has the light of Christ been born in your heart? You'd say, well, Pastor Tim, we're all here this morning. We're believers. We come to church. We do. Church pews are filled every Sunday with non-believers. I have to ask the question. I have to push the point. So has the light that came some 2,000 years ago and penetrated the darkness of this world, has it penetrated my old crusty heart? Has the light of Christ penetrated the darkness of your world? Does the light of Christ shine out in your world? Or are you doing, as many do today, compartmentalize? Faith is a private thing. That's a thing you do on your own. Don't bring it in the marketplace. When you turn the light on, it penetrates. It penetrates. Has the light of Christ brought true life? Has the light of Christ recreated? He is the creator of life, but He's also the creator of spiritual life. That life was the light of men. Has the light of Christ recreated life, eternal life in you? As we remember Christmas so long ago, we remember that Jesus Christ brought light into a darkened world. And in doing so, He brought the light into that which was spiritually dead. Later in His life, He referred to that again and again. On one occasion, He said, "I am the light of the world." Does that mean He is going to bring light to the physical world, that this world would never be in darkness again? No. No, He brought life to the people whom He had called of this world. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Is there life fully? Is there life outside of Jesus Christ? There is an existence outside of Jesus Christ. But when we speak of a redeemed spiritual life, can that be outside of Jesus Christ? No. To Thomas in John chapter 14 and the others who gathered there with Thomas that morning, I believe, He said, "I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full." I love this passage. We Christians are not simply to have an existence. We Christians are not simply to have a life that gets by. We Christians are to have a life that is full of the light of Jesus Christ. We Christians are to have a life that is full of Jesus Christ. I've said many times that the light of Christ in us should be so full in us that it is oozing over. And if somebody stands near, they're going to get it on them. Is the light of Christ shining that brightly in your life? Or is it just a dim flicker? Oh, I pray not. He told the people gathered in the room with Him that morning, that resurrection morning, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." This is no part-time thing. This is full. I remember, you know how I grew up in a home that was church all the time, with a grandfather who was a pastor, etc., etc. I can remember saying, "I don't want to be a Christian. I'll wait till I'm 35 and old, because it just ain't any fun." I'm 52 and 51, and I ain't old yet. But oh, how blind! How blind was I? If I could have known that the Christian life was the life I lead now, I could have had that back then. The fullness of the Christian life, that is what Jesus Christ brings. Amidst all the trials, all the heartaches, sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes the clouds drop a little low and our eyesight is covered. Oh, oh, "I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full." Folks, that is Christmas. That is the gift of Christmas. I don't care how much money you spend on Christmas on those you love. It will never, ever, ever come close to this gift. I hope this is what you're showing, what you're giving to those you love. In Him, in Jesus is life. And that is the one true gift of Christmas.